Open your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, page 704 in your Schofield Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. We'll read just the one verse. That's page 704 in your Schofield Bible. Then we'll turn to another passage after we read that verse together. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Together. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Turn now to Ephesians chapter 12. I'm sorry, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 in your Schofield Bible, page 1255. 1255. Be reading verses 13 through 18. The 13th verse is the text verse. We'll read these verses responsively. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. We are here in holy anticipation of that which you've prepared for us. We're about to sit down to a meal, a spiritual meal. We pray that you'd satisfy the appetites that are here tonight, varied, many. Only thou couldst satisfy us. Only thy word will suffice. And only the man of God can bring us thy word tonight. Bless him, bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And our Heavenly Father, we come to the book. We come to preach it, to try to teach it some, try to explain it. Help us tonight to get the truth and truth that you have for us and apply them to our lives so we can serve you better. Help me as I speak, and these dear ones as they listen and as all of us respond. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to get your Bibles again and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read to you, and you'll follow along as I talk to you tonight. I want to speak on the subject, the evil day. The evil day. You read a while ago, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. What are those evil days he's talking about? Doesn't say sinful days, says evil days. It's not talking about young people taking dope. That's sin, but it's not evil. In the evil days. And then we read a while ago in Ephesians chapter number 6, and we read in verse number 13, Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. I'm taking those three words. Listen to me now. I'm taking those three words out of that scripture. The evil day. That's the title of my sermon. Now, it says, take unto you the whole armor of God. In verse 10, it says, put on the whole armor of God. And in verse 13, it says, take unto you the whole armor of God. You put those two together. God said, take the whole armor and put it on. Now then, what is that armor of God? Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now that's honesty. That means a part of the armor of God is honesty. Let's go on. What is this whole armor of God? It goes on to say, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What that means is doing righteous deeds. It means good deeds. That's exactly what it means. So what is the armor of God? Number one, it's being honest. Number two, it's doing good deeds, doing righteous. You know, righteousness in the Bible is not the same as holiness. Holiness in the Bible is abstaining from, righteousness is doing good. It's the positive. It's the other side of holiness. It's the positive. So it says, they're talking about the armor of God now. And then it says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now that's soul winning. So God said, put on the whole armor of God. Number one, he said, honesty. Always be honest. Number two, he said, do good deeds, do righteous things. Number three, he said, be a soul winner. Now let's look at what the rest of it is. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now what that is simply trust in God. That's all it is. Trust in God. Trust Him for salvation. Trust Him for strength. Trust Him for support. Trust Him for watch care. Trust Him for safety. Trust Him for heaven. Trust in God. Now what is this whole armor of God? It's honesty. It is good deeds. It is soul winning. And it is trusting God. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, that means you ought to know that you're saved. What is the whole armor of God? Assurance that you're saved. What's the whole armor of God? Being honest. What's the whole armor of God? Doing good deeds. What's the whole armor of God? Being a soul winner. What's the whole armor of God? Trusting God. And what's the whole armor of God? Salvation, assurance you're saved. And verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What's that? The Bible. That's the Bible. What is the whole armor of God? We listed it now in verse 18. Praying always, and I'll stop right there. Not the sermon, but the... don't put your shoes on, ladies. I'm talking about the armor of God. Now look at me. Look at me. When I'm talking about the armor of God tonight, I'm talking about all of these things. It says the whole armor of God. Now I'm talking to some folks tonight. You read the Bible, but you don't win souls. So you don't have the whole armor of God on. I'm talking to some of you that win souls but don't read the Bible. So you don't have the whole armor of God. You've got a part of the armor of God, not all of it. I'm talking to folks that read the Bible and go soul winning but never do anything in the way of good deeds for people. I'm saying that you don't have the whole armor of God. I'm talking about folks tonight that do good deeds, win souls to Christ, read your Bible, but you don't pray. Now you have on a part of the armor of God, but God said the whole armor of God. Put on, take ye the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God. So, God is saying, I want you to put on, look at me now, look at me sailors, I'm talking to you too, all of you, look at me. God is saying that you ought to put on the whole armor. That means every Christian ought to be honest. Every Christian ought to do good deeds. Every Christian ought to be a soul winner. Every Christian ought to trust God in every way. Every Christian ought to know he's saved, have assurance of his salvation. Every Christian ought to live in the book, and every Christian ought to pray. Now, if you miss any of those, you don't have the whole armor of God. Now, I want to read my text tonight again, and then I'll ask you to, we'll not read any more together. I'll explain what I've read. It says, verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now he's going to tell us why. Why? That ye may be able to withstand. Notice it doesn't say stand. It says stand in verse 10. Now it says withstand. Withstand. What does that mean? Take it. That means keep on going when you're attacked. That's what it means. Withstand in the evil day. Why take on the whole armor of God? That you may be able to be withstand in, again, it doesn't say the sinful day, it says the evil day. Now close your Bibles, look right this way, and let me talk to you for a while. I think I can help you if you'll listen carefully. Now this is going to require your rapt attention tonight, because along with the preaching is some teaching. I think I'll use this microphone right here again tonight. All right. Listen carefully, very carefully. We're commanded, not requested, commanded. Not a suggestion, a command. A command to take unto us the whole armor of God. Then we're commanded also to put on the whole armor of God. Doesn't say carry it, says put it on. Doesn't say have it at your side, says put it on. Put on the whole armor of God. Again, I say the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, that's the assurance that you're saved. The breastplate of righteousness, that's righteous deeds, righteous acts, or good deeds. The girdle of truth, that's plain, old, simple honesty. The shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, that peace, that's plain soul winning. The sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God. Praying always, that's prayer. Now, God said, put on the whole armor. I'm talking to folks tonight that have five parts of the armor. God said the whole armor. You seem to think if you have most of it, you're a pretty good Christian. No, you're not. You're disobeying God. God said, put on the whole armor of God. That means everybody here is supposed to be honest. That means everybody here is supposed to do good deeds. That means everybody here is supposed to always tell the truth. That means everybody here is supposed to be a soul winner. That means everybody here is supposed to read the Bible. That means everybody here is supposed to pray. That means everybody here is supposed to be sure he's saved. Now, these six things all are the armor of the Lord. And God said, put on the whole armor of God. Now, why? Why? That ye may be able, in verse 10 it says, to stand. That means don't change. That means keep on doing what you've always done. That means believe what you've always believed. That means don't quit your soul winning. That means don't change. That means always be an old-fashioned, hellfire and brimstone, fundamental, independent Baptist preacher. That's what it means. It means don't change. Secondly, it says withstand. That means take it. While you're standing, withstand. That means take it. If you get criticism, withstand. Get opposition, withstand. Have a heartache, withstand. Have a burden, withstand. Have a broken heart, withstand. But now how do you do it? You put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. You say, what's standing? It's the opposite of falling. You wonder why some of you have fallen into sin, because you don't have the whole armor of God on. God said that ye may be able to stand. Now then, what, when to stand? Now this is it. Listen, listen. When to stand? Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. Now that's the message. The evil day. Now notice that it doesn't say that you need the whole armor of God all the time. You don't need the whole armor of God all the time. You need the whole armor of God in the evil day. But since when you don't know when the evil day is going to come, you're supposed to wear it all the time. I have in my car, I have a spare tire. Now, I don't know when I'm going to need that spare tire. Since I don't know when I'm going to need that spare tire, it's in my car all the time. Now, the Bible said that the whole armor of God is for you to withstand in the evil day. It doesn't say in the sinful day. It says in the evil day. But since when you don't know when the evil day is going to come, you're supposed to wear the whole armor of God all the time. That means you're supposed to know you're saved all the time. That means you're supposed to do good deeds all the time. That means you're supposed to be honest all the time. That means you're supposed to go soul winning all the time. That means you're supposed to live in that book all the time. That means you're supposed to pray all the time. Why? Because you don't know when the evil day is going to come. Now then, listen carefully. I was a paratrooper, as you know, in World War II. I think it was. Was it World War II or World War I or the Spanish-American War or the Civil War? I don't know. But I was a paratrooper in World War II. Now, we had a parachute on our back. That parachute had a 15-feet-long static line that was a big belt-like thing, a wide, big belt-like thing. The end of that belt, there was a hook, and you hooked that to a cable in the airplane. And when you jumped out of the airplane, the static line, when it got 15, you got 15 feet from the static line, it pulled the parachute open. One end of that static line was on the back of your parachute, which is held there by a twine string, and the other end was a hook that was on a cable in the C-47 or C-46 or C-82 airplane. So you jumped out and you said 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and the parachute was supposed to open, the main chute. But right here on your chest, you had what they called a reserve chute. It was the thing about that wide, about that big around, was right here on your chest. I jumped out the first times, counted 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and my parachute opened, and I hit the ground. When we got down to the ground, I thought to myself, what's this dumb thing for? I never did get killed on a jump, as far as I know. Are you listening?
I jumped the second time. So it said 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And the chute open, main chute open. And I thought, now what's this dumb thing here for, this reserved chute? I jumped the third time. I counted 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. My parachute open. Everything was fine. I landed on the ground, and I couldn't understand why we had to wear that reserve chute. Jumped five times in 5 days. Jump number four was a night jump. All of my jumps were night jumps. My eyes were shut every time I jumped. But I there was a night jump. And so I jumped, and the static line pulled my parachute open. And so I landed safely. And I thought, what's this dumb reserve chute doing? Jump number five, daytime jump. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. I jumped. I had what they call a streamer. It means those static, those what they call, can't think of now, what do we call it? Suspension line. Suspension line that go from you up to the parachute, wrapped around the parachute, and the wind couldn't get in the parachute. And so I jumped. I counted 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. And the parachute wasn't open, and I felt there must be a need to pull the ripcord on that reserve chute. I pulled the ripcord on that reserve chute, and it opened. I was 1 second from hitting the ground. You fall about 100 feet per second. I was 1 second from death when I pulled that ripcord. I found out what the reserve chute was there for. Now, if I had known what time I needed the reserve chute, I'd have just worn it one time. But I didn't know when I was going to really need the reserve chute. So I wore the reserve chute all the time. Now, God said, you don't know when you're coming to the evil day. Now, every day you don't need the whole armor of God. But one of these days you're going to need the whole armor of God, and that's called the evil day. And you don't know what the evil day is, so you better do good deeds all the time. You better know you're saved all the time. You better be honest all the time. You better go soul winning all the time. You better live in that book all the time. And you better pray all the time. Just in case you come to that evil day, you need the whole armor of God on. Now, some of you folks, you don't pray 5 minutes a day. One of these days, you're going to come to the evil day, and you're going to stumble. Some of you folks don't spend 5 minutes a day in that book, and one of these days, you're going to come to the evil day, and you're going to stumble. Some of you folks never win a soul to Christ. You listen to me. This is not play stuff. This is real. This is not child stuff. This is adult stuff. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, every child of God ought to know he's saved. Every child of God ought to do good deeds. Every child of God ought to be honest. Every child of God ought to be a soul winner. Every child of God ought to live in that book. And every child of God ought to pray. And the reason folks are stumbling and falling is because they have on part of the armor of God. But God said, put on the whole armor of God. I carry in my suitcase a sewing kit. I'm not a very good seamster. I'm not a very good one. But I travel a lot. I never know when I'm going to need it. Last Monday night, I started to go preach in Louisville, Kentucky. My coat was like this on my shoulder. Not quite that bad, but like that. And I looked at it and I thought, now what's wrong with my coat? And I tried to straighten it, and it wouldn't straighten. So I said, well, I guess the thing's just getting old. I've had it several years, worn it quite a while. So I went on, preached. Tuesday morning, I looked in the mirror. This shoulder was real good. This shoulder was still sort of swiveled up like that. I don't mean the shoulder, I mean the coat. Shoulder was just as broad as ever. So I said, what's wrong with the coat? I pulled it like that. And I said, I guess the suit's old. I noticed folks looking at my right shoulder. I noticed young people sort of giggling while I preached Monday night and Tuesday morning. Tuesday night I started leaving. I saw that thing and I decided to look around the back. In the back there was a gather like that. Right down the back of my coat. I couldn't understand it. I mean a big old wrinkle right down like that. Right down the back of my coat. I went down to the lobby of the Holiday Inn. There was a fellow going to meet me. I said, look, would you look at the back of my coat and see what's wrong with it? And he looked at it. He said, man, the back of your coat's terrible. Not only is it wrinkled like that, and there's a gather like that, but he said it's turned up like that. He says turned up several inches like that. He said, looks like the lining's not as long as the coat is. I said, man, I can't go to church like this. He said, you did this morning. I said, did I look like this morning? He said, we wondered what was wrong. Your shoulder was wrinkled, had a wrinkle across, a gather across the back, and your coat was turned up like that. I went down to the little gift shop, and I said to the lady there, I said, you got a pair of scissors I can borrow? I want to cut this lining in my coat so it won't be sewed to the coat. The lining won't be sewed to the skirt of the coat. She said, okay. But the lady at the desk at the Holiday Inn heard me, and she said, look, I'm a seamstress. Let me help you. She comes out there, and she says, what you got? Your lining is not long enough, and that's why it's turned up like that. You could see my shirt tail almost hanging out there. She said, I'll fix it for you. I stood there in the lobby of the Holiday, big Holiday, one of the biggest I've ever been in, and people walking by, and she was messing around with the tail of my coat. I was embarrassed to death. I said, let me take this thing off. She said, I can't fix it if it's off. I said, let's put it on my driver. He said, don't fit me. I stood there 15 stinking minutes in the Holiday Inn while that gal was doing something to the back end of my coat. She finally said, it's better, but it's not fixed. I said, look, I'm already 15 minutes late to church. It's about a 10-minute, 15-minute drive. I got to go. She said, well, it's better. And the driver said, it's better, but there's still something wrong with it. But she had cut the lining where the lining and the skirt, and I hate the word skirt for a man, the skirt of my coat and the lining, she had cut that. She said, it's some better. I got to church and I felt terrible. I went to the men's room. I decided to take the coat off and look at every part of the coat. I found out that a little staple, not a clothes staple, it hadn't been a staple, a little staple had gotten caught on the inside of my coat. It had gotten caught about 6 inches, and the other end about 6 inches from what the other end was caught on, and it was pulling my coat, the lining of my coat, like that. So I took the staple out, and the shoulder straightened out. I walked in church. Everything was fine. Shoulder straightened out. The wrinkle, the gather was out of my coat. And somebody said, your lining is showing. One nut said, your slip's showing, Dr. Hiles. I had no needle, I had no thread. All I had was some paper clips in my Bible. Took my coat out, sat back in the back row of the church while Dennis Coyle was preaching, worked on my coat and paper clipped it, the lining up. Now, I had in my room sewing kit, but didn't do any good. God doesn't say, tote the whole armor of God, said put it on. You may need it someday. I needed a sewing kit. I didn't have a sewing... I had a sewing kit, but I had it in my suitcase. And that's where your Bible is. God's not talking about the Bible on the coffee table. God's talking about the Bible in your heart. God's not talking about praying that folks will get saved. God's talking about winning souls to Christ. God's not talking about smiling at people. He's talking about doing good deeds to people. God's not talking about now lay me down to sleep. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for the pizza. God's not talking about that. God's talking about praying. And God said, don't just have it. Put it on. Wear it. Now, let me get to the sermon. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand and stand in the evil day. The difference, as you've been taught here many times on Wednesday night in Bible study, between the word sin and evil is this. Sin is transgression of the law. Evil is transgression of the law in an attempt to hurt somebody. David said concerning, he said, Dear God, I wrote the scripture down here, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He sinned when he had Bathsheba. He did evil when he plotted to kill Uriah. Evil is sin with an intent to hurt somebody. Now, God didn't say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand or stand and stand in the sinful day, but be able to withstand in the evil day. You may be able, ladies and gentlemen, to not take a drink of liquor without the whole armor of God. You may be able to quit smoking without the whole armor of God. You may be able to withstand the temptation of narcotics without the whole armor of God. But you cannot withstand in the evil day without the whole armor of God. Now, the evil day is not every day. It says the evil day. Let me illustrate. The evil day normally does not apply to young people. Young people are tempted to sin, but young people hardly ever face the evil day. Illustration. When I was a young man, I was never in what you call gross sin. But I did some wrong things. I was far from perfect, but I was never in what you call deep or gross sin. But I did some wrong things. When I was a young preacher, I would sometimes have the sin of pride. It's hard to be this cute without being proud. But sometimes I had the sin of pride. Sometimes I had the sin of anger. Sometimes I had the sin of covetousness. Sometimes I had the sin of other sins that were obvious sins. That's not... Listen to me, young people. Hey, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. But that's not the evil day. As a young preacher, someone attacked me. Someone attacked me. That's the evil day. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and withstand when somebody attacks you. Now, you may get by and never drink a bottle of liquor in your life, or swallow liquor in your life, or smoke a cigarette, or say a curse word without the whole armor of God, but you wait till somebody takes off and tries to destroy you and attacks you, brother, you're going to have the whole armor of God to keep from fighting back. How in the world can I bless those that curse me? Wear the whole armor of God. How can I do good to those that do evil to me? Put on the whole armor of God. How in the world can I pray for those that despitefully use me? Put on the whole armor of God. I'm trying to say that when the temptation was liquor, when the temptation was drinking, when the temptation was covetousness, when the temptation was temper, when the temptation was anger, when the temptation was wrath, I did not need the whole armor of God, but I did not know when the evil day was going to come. And the evil day is when somebody hurts you, and those that don't have on the whole armor of God will say, I'll get him back. I'll make him pay. I'll pay him back. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the evil day, and God doesn't want you getting revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God doesn't want you fighting back. That's his job to take care of that. But you're not going to say that unless you have on the whole armor of God. Folks that don't pray a lot cannot withstand attack without fighting back. Folks that don't live in that book cannot withstand attack without fighting back. So God said, so when I was a young man, all of a sudden, I had sinned, but the evil day came. As a young preacher, I've got to admit, I had the whole armor of God, but didn't have it on. Just like many of you. So, I didn't have it on. I fought back. I knew what to do. I knew I was supposed to love my enemies. I knew I was supposed to bless those that curse me. I knew I was supposed to pray for those that despitefully use me. I knew that. But I couldn't do it. You say, why couldn't you do it? Because I didn't have on the whole armor of God. I'm talking to folks tonight who are toting the whole armor of God, but you don't have it on. And let me tell you something, brother. Christianity is as much forgiving your enemies as it is not drinking or smoking cigarettes. God's people need an old-fashioned revival of blessing those that curse them. Let God fight your battles. The battle is the Lord's, not yours. I knew God said, pray for those that spitefully use me. But I couldn't. Why? Because the armor was not on. Oh boy! As soon as this happened, I got the armor of the Lord and put it on, but it's too late. You've heard me tell the story. I was attacked. I got bitter. And I fought back. I'm talking about I was pastor of a New Testament church. I was in my 20s, young preacher, but I fought back. I had some deacons, two or three deacons, that decided they were going to, they wouldn't try to get me fired or anything. They decided to criticize me a little bit. I walked in the pulpit with two sacks of canned goods one Sunday morning. I had the deacons come and sit on the front row. I said to the people, I said, let me tell you, the deacons here, what the deacons are supposed to do. I said, the only duty in the Bible that says the deacon's supposed to do is feed the widow women. I said, all the widows, would you stand please? I passed out those canned goods to the deacons. It's a funny story. Every preacher ever hears it loves to hear it. I went down there, I gave this deacon some canned goods, and this deacon some canned goods, and passed the canned goods out. I said, now all the widows stand. Widows all stood. I said, you deacons, take that canned goods to the widows. They took the canned goods to the widows. They came back, and I said, now you just did the only thing the Bible says the deacon's supposed to do. Now, listen. Those deacons were wrong in attacking me. And they didn't try to get me fired. They just wanted to criticize me. But I was young, impetuous, and I did wrong. Since I did wrong, I chose the thing I enjoyed doing more than the wrong I could have done. I often say, you guys at Howells Henderson College that get expelled for not signing in or signing out, you stupid. Get expelled. Get expelled for holding a girl's hand. If you're going to use those demerits up, enjoy using them up. You dumb. But I was wrong. Boy, I never have said that. That felt pretty good. Shut up. There's a blonde in the choir. You do know the advantage of being married to a blonde, don't you? You can park in the handicap zone. Just think, folks, you can say, for years I was there when Brother Howell said it. I was wrong. Buy the tape, I'll never say it again. And I got bitter. And for 6 months, the only 6 months of my ministry when my church didn't grow. Only 6 months of my ministry when we had people saved, but not as many. Because I got bitter. And the reason I got bitter is because somebody attacked me. Didn't mean that the sinful day. I can get by with that maybe without the whole armor of God. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When you get attacked, and you know you're right, and you know that somebody has done you wrong, and if you don't fight back, and if you bless them that curse you and do good, those that spitefully use you, and pray for them, and don't fight back, and let the Lord take care of the vengeance, you're not going to do it unless you know you're saved. You're not going to do it unless you do good deeds. You're not going to do it unless you're honest. You're not going to do it unless you're a soul winner. You're not going to do it unless you live in that book. You're not going to do it unless you walk with God in prayer. I'm trying to tell you, you may get by with not smoking but not wearing the whole armor of God, but you won't get by in the evil day without the whole armor of God. Most of you have never really been attacked. Day's going to come. People come to my office all the time. Brother Howell, so-and-so did so-and-so. If you don't get him back, I will. That's childishness. And it shows you either don't know you're saved, you're not doing good deeds, you're not telling the truth, you're not winning souls to Christ, you don't live in that book, you don't walk on your knees in prayer, or you wouldn't want to get him back. Why? Because the whole armor of God is to help you stand in the evil day, and the evil day is when somebody sins against you with an intent to hurt you. One day I decided to quit toting the armor of God and put it on. And let me say this tonight, and you listen to me carefully. Putting on the whole armor of God has been the salvation of my ministry. Show me a preacher been attacked as much as I have. Show me a preacher been the object of attack as much as I have. thank God tonight, as a younger preacher years ago, about 40 years ago, thank God I put on the whole armor of God. Now, there have been times when I didn't put it on one particular day and got my feelings hurt, but my habit has been to wear the whole armor of God. My habit's been to be sure I'm saved. My habit has been to do good deeds to people. My habit has been to tell the truth. My habit has been to be a soul winner. My habit has been live in that book. My habit has been live on my knees. And brother, when the attacks have come, though I've had lapses, my basic general demeanor has been vengeance belongs to him and not to me. So, I sincerely love my enemies. I sincerely try to help my enemies. I sincerely pray for my enemies. I pray they'll drop dead, but I pray for them. I pray for my enemies. I'm serious about that. Pray for good to happen to them. Now again, what is this armor? That'll help you withstand when you're attacked in the evil day. Not the sinful day, the evil day. Not when you're tempted to sin, but when you're tempted to do evil back to those that have done evil to you. Know you're saved. Do righteous deeds. Be honest. Be a soul winner. Live in the book and live on your knees. I'm talking to folks in this room tonight. You're mad at somebody because they've done something wrong against you. And I'll be very plain. Though they may be wrong, you're not right with God if you want to get back. And the fact that you want to get back tells me that one or more of these pieces of armor are missing. Matthew 6:13, the Lord's Prayer we call it, says, deliver us from evil. But you can't do that without the whole armor of God. Psalm 51:4, David said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You know why David committed a sin with Bathsheba? He didn't necessarily have to have the whole armor of God on, but brother, when he decided to do something evil to Uriah, he did that because he wasn't wearing the whole armor of God. 1 Peter 3:9 says, not rendering evil for evil. Did you hear what I said? Hey, you folks that want to get back at somebody. And you even come to my office and ask me to get back at them for you. Talk about evil. You want me to do the evil for you. Grow up. I said, grow up. I said, grow up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:9, don't render evil for evil. It didn't say, preacher, don't render evil for evil. He didn't say, deacon, don't render evil for evil. He's writing to every single child of God. You're not supposed to get back at anybody. Now listen to me. Vengeance belongs to God. And by the way, he can do a lot better than you can. The Bible says you let God take care of it. It's like pouring coals of fire upon their heads. Little lady walked into the preacher and said, my husband is mean to me. He said, have you poured coals of fire upon his head? She said, no, I poured scalding water down his shirt, but not coals of fire upon his head. If you want to get back at your enemy, you let God take care of it for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil. But you say, how can I do it? You put on the whole armor of God and you won't render evil for evil. You can withstand in the evil day. Romans 12:17 says, recompense no man evil for evil. Well, this is not very popular, is it? You like it better when I get on Oprah, don't you? You like it better when I get on Jim Baker and what's her name? Tammy Faye, don't you? You like it better when I get on rock music, don't you? But you hear me and you hear me well. For you to try to get back at somebody and try to get vengeance is just as rotten as the devil himself. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You say, Brother Hines, somebody tried to hurt me. I was supposed to try to help them. Yeah. That makes sense to me. Well, read the book. Well, I can't do it. Oh, yes, you could. And the reason you can't is because you don't have the whole armor of God on. Something's missing in the armor. Either, listen to me, sailors. Listen to me. Either, if you try to get back at somebody and render evil for evil, either you don't know you're saved, or you're not honest, or you're not doing righteous or good deeds, or you're not a soul winner, or you're not reading that book enough, or you're not walking on your knees enough. There's a kink in the armor somewhere. Because you put on the whole armor of God, the Bible says you can withstand in the evil day. There's dawn on you. That's what Matthew 5:11 means. Blessed are you, men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely. All manner of evil. All manner of evil. Trying to hurt you. That's gossip. I'll pay him back. I'll get even. I'll never speak to her again. Oh, what a great Christian you are. Your Savior was crucified and said, Father, forgive them. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, any gossip is evil. Any hurtful criticism, if it's true even, is evil. Well, I just can't help it. I talked to a fella, held some bitterness against somebody, and by the way, boy, it's a good thing I don't try to get back. With my hot temper, they'd have to build a special prison for me for all the murders I'd commit. My enemies better pray I don't ever put down the armor. I'll go to Ministerial Association machine gun. I just sure shooting tomorrow. Some ministerial association guy, some guy's going to go with a machine gun. And I'll get arrested because I said I would. Now listen carefully. The evil day is going to come, and the more you do for God, the more the devil's going to see to it that you have an evil day to come. Now it just may be that evil day has not come, but it's going to come. Now on, I'm carrying a sewing kit in my pocket. Put the spare tire in the car that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Take the aspirins with you. You don't know when you're going to have a headache, but you'll have a headache sometime. So have the aspirins with you. The helmet of salvation. Do you know you're saved? Get the assurance you're saved. Breastplate of righteousness. How long has it been since you did something for somebody? I don't mean smile. I mean did something for somebody. I don't mean we're friendly. I mean did something for somebody. Girdle of truth. Honesty. I was talking to a fellow the other day. Told a big lie to his wife. Two big lies to his wife. They're having marital problems. I talked to her on the phone, and she said, he said so-and-so and so-and-so. And I said, hold it a minute. I went in the other waiting room, and I said, did you say so-and-so and so-and-so? He said, yeah. Well, I said, that's not true. He said, I just bluffing. They call that lying where I came from. Start winning souls. Pray always. Live in the Bible. And trust God totally. That's the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day. You know why churches have splits? Because we want to render evil for evil. You know why some of you fellows and you women are having marital problems tonight? Because you render evil for evil. I will or she will. That's as unscriptural as drinking liquor. You will if she won't. Well, I will if he will. No, you will if he won't. Listen to me. I'm talking tonight to husbands and wives, rendering evil for evil. She smarts off at you, you smart off back at her. I don't do that. I slap her. Look, I'm going to get it when I get home anyhow. I may as well enjoy while I'm up here. Ask a question tonight. Anybody you don't like? Anybody you hate? Anybody you fought back? I'm talking about at home. I'm talking about you young folks with your mother and dad. I'm talking about your wives, your husbands, you husbands to your wives, your neighbors to your neighbors. The churches of America need an old-fashioned revival of rendering good for evil and overcoming evil with good. And this great church is no exception. I'm tired of refereeing battles between you. I'm tired two of you can't get along with each other. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, understand he owes me some money. Let him have it. I'd rather have peace of mind than have the money anyway. You know how I feel right now? I feel like I'm marooned on an island up here. My wife's turned on me, I can tell that. You can't blame her either. But I do enjoy parking in the handicapped parking place. Now let's just have a cleansing tonight. Let's just have a cleansing. Let's just decide. Now you say, okay, Brother Howell, I promise I won't render evil for evil. No, that's not the way you do it. You put on the whole armor of God. Get on the battlefield and a fellow shoots at you and say, well, I promise I won't shoot back. But you don't have the armor on. You'll be just as dead as if you decide to shoot back. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Howells, I'm going to love my enemy. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not going to love your enemy. You put on the whole armor of God. Let's just take an inventory tonight. Do you know you're saved? If you don't, get down here and take care of it. Number two, do you have the breastplate of righteousness on? I mean, are you regularly helping others, feeding the hungry people, clothing the naked, helping people? Number three, you honest? Any white lies? There's a second white lie. They're all black. Number four, you a soul winner? Huh? Number five, you pray regularly? Listen to me. Quit you. Young folks over here, listen to me now. I happen to be preaching to you, and you may need this. I'm sure that you're sanctified and perfect, but the day may come when you're not perfect. You live in the book? How much Bible have you read today? Well, it's a Sunday. Well, you wouldn't want to read the Bible on Sunday, would you? Let's just go back. How much Bible have you read during the week? How many chapters in God's eternal, never-dying book? Yeah, I believe the King James. Yeah, but you keep it shut. Then you wonder why you get in all kinds of trouble. You wonder why you got to trot into Brother Howell's office with your little wife and say, we're having trouble. She don't understand me. I don't either. I'll tell you why you're having trouble. S-E-L-F. Listen to me. You can resolve all you want to do better, but you're not going to do better till you get the whole armor of God on. Because the evil day is going to come. Ask a question. You say, I got six of them. Bible didn't say six is enough. Bible said all of them. 5 out of 7 is not bad. It's not bad, but you won't be able to withstand in the evil day. Well, I got more than half. It didn't say put on more than half of the armor of God. It said put on the whole armor of God. What part of the armor are you not wearing tonight? Assurance of salvation? Righteous deeds? Good deeds? Dishonesty? Or honesty? Soul winning? Trusting God? The Bible? Prayer? Then don't be surprised when you have strife and battles and hurt feelings. The trouble is not that you walk down the aisle at night and say, Dear God, I want you to forgive me because I have some hurt feelings. That's not the issue. You won't have those hurt feelings if you put on the whole armor of God. You won't withstand in the evil day because you make some promises. You'll withstand in the evil day when you put on the whole armor of God. Would you bow your heads, please? All right. Are you sure you're saved? Please do not move right now. Don't walk the aisle yet. Be still. You're going to bother people up there in the balcony. Sit down. Are you sure you're saved? That's the helmet. Are you helping other people? That's the breastplate. Are you honest? That's the girdle. Are you a soul winner? That's the shoes.